I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo.
A gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey everybody, welcome to The Memo. It is Thursday, October 27th. I'm Derek Russell. I'm joined by Brad Locke.
Yay.
We were discussing the other day, you always do your funny little Twitter names.
Oh, yeah, I mix it up.
Using my air quotes around funny.
It's at it is funny. It's at Brad Locke, but then you can have your display name be whatever.
Dink, dink, yeah.
So
the dink, dink is air
currently quotes. It's Pumpkin Spice Latte.
Everybody does Halloween names. Like, that's the only time I see people change them. They don't do it around Christmas. They always do Halloween
names. See, I try to do it just whenever. Well, but yeah. October seems to lend itself best to my name. I've done Mr. Locktober.
I couldn't come up with one, so I went with Dare Eek.
You went with what?
Eek.
Eek.
Did you?
Eek. Pretty lame.
Okay.
Just kidding. It's not bad.
Well, I'm sorry. That was lame. I tried to be creative and inventive.
It's not really that lame.
We all can't be Pumpkin Spice Latte.
Yeah, once Halloween has passed, I got to come up, or fall's over, I got to come up with something else.
November, turkey.
Probably just wait till Christmas gets close in December and do something.
Pilgrims.
I'll come up with something. I could do something for Thanksgiving, I'm sure.
I'll figure out something for you.
I'll think about it long enough.
Oh, well, mine are lame. I probably shouldn't be the one figuring it out for you. Yeah, speaking of coming up on Halloween, Monday's episode, if you heard us yesterday, we're going to be doing all ghost stories on Monday's episode, and Brad's going to silence his phone.
That was my computer, sorry.
Either way. And so be sure to send those in. You can email us memo@journalinc.com. We'd love to tell your stories on the air. Even better if you've got a story that you yourself want to tell, we could open up the phone lines.
Yeah, and if you want us to read it, we'll read it in our spooky voice.
Yeah.
So we can do our best Vincent Price impression.
So.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Was it?
Sure, it could be.
All right.
It's spookier that way.
Well.
So, yeah, we're going to have
fun. It was a bright and sunny morning when death came.
Now, that's one of the things I love about the Halloween movie, the first one, is Mike Myers, he shows up in the middle of the day, in the middle of a neighborhood, and creeps people out. And then somehow disappears.
That's extra scary.
Yeah, it really is.
Halloween is one of the most ethereal, that's not the right
ephemeral
word. But no, I don't remember the term I'm trying to use, but just... You see him, and then you don't see him, and just he's kind of there in the laundry swaying. And
usually, like, it's...
I was talking to somebody about this last night, about how it's just extra creepy, especially him just walking around the day, like he's poking up behind that hedge in that one scene.
Yeah, and usually you're like, it's daytime, I'm safe. And
yeah, no, you're not safe.
Not from Mike Myers.
He's a 6-foot-tall guy walking around with a William Shatner mask on.
William Shatner.
It is a William Shatner mask.
What do you mean?
That mold of Michael Myers' face is the mold from a William Shatner mask.
Really?
I'm not kidding.
I did not know that.
I mean, it's not supposed to be in the movie, but like...
Is this what the prop department used?
Yes, that's the prop department used. They mold of William Shatner's face. Google?
Was it like left over from something William Shatner had done? They're like, hey, this will work. Throw some hair on it and good to go. That's crazy.
I'm trying to find a reason for you here.
I never thought of William Shatner as that creepy, though.
There it is. There you go.
I guess. A young William Shatner, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah. It was a 60s Star Trek show,
right.
That mask.
Huh.
So, but anyway, that's it. Yeah, I'll show it so Chris can see it over there.
I guess that's why I always like the cut of Mike Myers' jib.
That's the only reason I come on the show, is to share these really weird, obscure things.
Pop culture.
With you.
Obscure pop culture. You could do a whole podcast about obscure pop culture. You probably do, don't you? You probably do a podcast about obscure pop culture.
But this one was just always a favorite to me.
You said that you don't see William Shatner being that scary, but I don't think anything scared me as much when I was a kid as Rescue 911.
True. That was
even Unsolved Mysteries.
I watched that show.
I didn't watch Unsolved Mysteries.
I would put Unsolved Mysteries a little above.
I shouldn't have watched Rescue 911. This is when I was like 5 or 6.
They didn't do anything graphic.
Yeah, but I was always afraid it was going to happen to me because it was all real life stuff.
It was always the kid having to call.
And it's William Shatner doing the voiceover. So.
And it would go in my head like I'd be riding my bike.
Host TJ Hooker. Chris Kiefer was riding his bike one day when tragedy struck.
Seriously, though,
that's my worst William Shatner impression I can give you.
You talk about being paranoid like that. Actually, when I was living in Clinton, I lived there from the time I was like 8 until 12. Oh, donuts are here. So is a baby. Let me finish the story first, though. there outside the studio, my wife and small baby.
Bring them on.
Bringing donuts. Anyway, I'd heard rumors about this guy walking through our neighborhood in Clinton, dressed like Jesus. I was like, oh, whatever.
That was him.
Some crazy guy. I was riding my bike one day, turning onto my street. There's the guy, dressed in robes, beard, everything. I picked up the pace a little bit, kept going.
So he was like the clowns.
So he was probably just a mentally unstable person. He's just walking around just like Jesus.
Jesus, Brad. You probably shouldn't say that. I don't think Jesus
was wandering a Clinton neighborhood in 1986 or whenever it was.
I don't know his whereabouts at the time, but he might have been the original clown posse that's going around now.
Police reports that you can now find just at djournal.com.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading them yesterday, and there was a clown sighting.
There's
somebody was staring through, out in Lee County, somebody was staring through a window with a clown mask, and then the pit bull jumped up to the window, and he ran off.
What was the one you texted me the other day? Somebody was shining a flashlight into car windows?
Yeah, I heard that on the scanner. Some guy in a clown mask was just shining his flashlight in passing cars.
I'm not looking forward to Monday night. I'll tell you that much right now.
It's probably going
to
be a record number of clowns out for Halloween. You know, which county was it that outlawed clowns until after Halloween in Mississippi?
It was
down around DeKalb. I can't remember which county it is.
Somewhere down south, wasn't it?
Yeah, south of here. Yeah, they just said, no clowns. No clown dressing up until after Halloween.
There's one wandering outside the Lyric.
Really?
Before you go into Haunted Theater.
Oh, that's like part of the thing, though, right?
Well, not really, because it's the Haunted Theater is spaceship themed. So some guy shows up in a clown suit? Yeah, I think it's just an excuse to show up in a clown suit.
Okay, that's not creepy.
Terrorize y'all's neighborhood.
Nice.
All right.
Caught that reference.
There you go.
I understood that reference. Unlike the William Shatner thing. So
I just tried to enlighten you a little bit.
My baby's eating a donut here in the studio, by the way. It's so cute, but you can't see it because this is a podcast. But believe me, it's amazingly cute. Let's put Ellie on the podcast. Ellie, how's that donut? Can you tell us how the donut tastes? And she's looking at Chris Kiefer and is scared. He doesn't even have a clown mask on.
That is his clown mask.
He's not that scary. She's taking another bite.
Donut good?
Donut yum yum? She can't really talk yet.
She said, donut put me on this podcast. I don't want to be on it.
Well, anyway, yeah, she looks like she's enjoying that donut. I'm going to enjoy one here shortly.
What is Ellie going to be for Halloween?
She was a peacock at the church Reformation party last night.
Peacock, yes.
It was pretty darn adorable. Little purple peacock outfit. Yeah.
What are you? Oh, you're going to be Frankenstein's monster.
Frankenstein's monster. That. I am. I'll be at work Monday. I probably won't be able to do Capital View, the webcast, as Frankenstein's monster. I'll have to take off the makeup by then. So it'll be kind of.
No, I really think you should do it in the makeup, honestly.
I'm not sure Rod would go for that.
I think it'd be fine. It's Halloween. Are we supposed to wear costumes on Monday?
You can. Some people are.
It couldn't be worse than the mustache.
Ooh. Ooh, dang, Chris.
The wife agrees.
The wife did not like the mustache. She's nodding her head.
Well, we've got a full show for you today, in addition to the donuts and the baby being here. Hello.
We've got William Moore. Don't make eye contact with him. Don't do it, Ellie.
William Moore will be joining us, Scott Morris, today, and then I'll be talking about arts and entertainment for your weekend ahead.
Oh, hey, and by the way, today's show is brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant on North Gloucester.
Offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere.
I've got it right here. Don't even need the script on that one, Chris. Thank you. All right, let's get to it. Let's bring William Moore into the program. You know, William, we were talking on the podcast yesterday about how many calls we heard over the scanner this week about fires, just grass fires mostly.
Right.
And, you know, there's a burn ban out there, and yet I know some of these are probably accidental, but there are actually still people like trying to start fires in these conditions, which is
there are a lot of
crazy
people out there still, you know, trying to burn leaves and do stuff that they normally do in the fall. And
right.
For the most part, when fire departments go out there or the sheriff's department or somebody, when they go out there and see these folks, normally they'll just remind them, all right, it's a burn ban.
Right.
We need you to put it out. And they give folks just a verbal warning the first time. But if folks go back and do it again.
Yeah.
That's when they have, you know, there is a burn ban, and they can issue a citation, which can have up to a $500 fine attached to it.
And that's what your story in today's journal is about, is this burn ban. It's in all 16 counties of Northeast Mississippi. Most every county in the state just about is under a burn ban of some kind. The Natchez Trace has issued one. All of these were issued within the past month or so.
Late September, early October is when everybody really started kicking in, because we got basically no rain in September.
And not really in October.
And none in October. So, I mean, everything is just parched out there.
Super dry. All my plants are pretty much dead now at my house.
Well, my yard's about the same way.
But on the upside, my grass isn't really growing, so I don't have to mow it. but
see, that's why they're worried about, the people having open fires, because, according to the Forestry Commission, if somebody has an open fire, the embers from that fire can lift up and be carried by the wind and start another fire up to a half mile away.
Yeah.
So it could be dangerous. And according to state law, if you start a fire and it escapes and catches somebody else's land or house on fire, you're financially responsible for it.
Yes, indeed. And you spoke with several authorities in different counties, Lee County, Chickasaw County, Pontotoc County, and elsewhere. And there have been some citations issued.
There have been several citations. Most counties, anywhere from 1 to 3. Pontotoc was the most. They had 5.
Okay.
No, they had 7. And most of the counties have just been giving folks verbal warnings, and just the threat of a $500 fine is enough to get most folks to say, I'm going to stop.
Yeah, and pretty much just about every kind of fire you can think of is banned. That includes campfires, bonfires, fire rings, fire pits, burn barrels, and, of course, you mentioned burning leaves and such. Can't do that.
Correct.
Can't burn debris. You can, and that's bad news for Chris Kiefer, can't use his fire pit.
I know.
That's right. I mean, I mean, most cities have separate burn ordinances,
and
you're
thing.
Not allowed to have an open fire inside city limits. That's basically to keep folks from having burn barrels or burning leaves. But, during this situation, according to the Tupelo Fire Chief Thomas Walker, fire pits and chimeneas are also banned. During the burn ban, so...
What is a chiminea?
It's like a big clay pot that you can have fires inside. It's like a enclosed fire pit or a big kiln.
I got you. And you mentioned a lot of cities and towns just have a burn ban in general.
Have a burn ban in general.
But out in the county, a different story.
Out in the county, it's open season out in the county.
Everything's open season in the county.
during the burn ban, it sort of supersedes city ordinances, so
right.
If somebody is out there, somebody has a fire pit going and the fire department gets a call, they're going to come knock on your door and say, there is a burn ban, you need to put it out.
And if you get cited, it's basically like a ticket that you get. Like you said, you can be fined anywhere from $100 to $500.
A ticket. You'll go before, in a justice court, the fireman or fire marshal or whoever wrote the ticket will show up there and explain how big of a fire you had,
right,
whether or not you had done this before, stuff like that. And then the judge would set the fine somewhere between $100 and $500.
Okay. Well, just don't start any fires, people. It's actually common sense when it's this dry. It's
common
just
sense
when
a lot of folks are chomping at the bit for fire pits and chimneys just because we finally
get time of year.
The cooler weather outside. Folks want to go outside at night.
Of course, it's going to be up in the mid to upper 80s the rest of this week, but
But still, it's still getting down into the 50s at night.
True. So, it is. Yeah.
But as long as the burn ban's in effect, there is no outside burning.
And we're probably not going to get any rain until next week at the earliest.
They're saying it's going to be sometime in November before we get to see rain again.
Good heavens. Okay. Well, again, don't burn stuff, people. Good story by William. You can find it in today's journal and at djournal.com. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Hey, be sure to look for the two sports podcasts we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself, Gene Phelps, and Blake Morgan. New episodes air every Wednesday. You can watch the webcast live around 11 a.m. at djournal.com. The podcast version drops later in the day. Listen to it for free in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. And yesterday we had a new episode with, it was just me and Blake talking a good bit about Tupelo, the new number one football team in the state. So check that out. You happy about that, Derek? THS grad?
I'm from Tupelo.
What year did you graduate?
Tupelo High grad, 2002.
2002. Nice.
You were what, 40?
No. I was still in my 20s back then. So
29.
I moved here in the fall of 02, so did I guess you? That would have been your freshman year of college. Fall of 02.
I was in Starkville.
Okay, yeah, I'm old. Speaking of Starkville, Segue. For you MSU and Ole Miss fans, check out Double Coverage, a podcast with Ole Miss beat reporter Parrish Alford and MSU reporter Logan Lowry. New episodes every Thursday afternoon. The guys providing game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and the Rebels. Listen to it for free on iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com.
And don't forget, you can wake up with the Brad Locke Show each Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday. How did I say Wednesday and Tuesday out of order? We're not really sure. And Friday.
5 days a week.
Break. Yeah, 5 days a week. In whatever order you want it to be in. It's a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi in a quick five-minute video. Shows are posted each week at 7 a.m.
Each day.
But each week.
Well, yeah, but each day of the week.
Yeah, but I've already been through that. I don't want to go through that again.
It just doesn't make sense each week.
It makes perfect sense. Each week, 5 days a week, the video is posted online at Facebook, YouTube, and at djournal.com or any of the djournal.com Apple apps or Android devices apps.
Want to start over?
No. I like the way I'm doing it just now. You can stay informed of the latest happenings in your community in an easily digestible format.
As easily digestible as these donuts.
I find Brad very hard to digest, if we're being honest. But
yeah,
what have you. We want to remind you that today's show is also brought to you by South, a locally owned restaurant offering fine dining in a casual atmosphere. You can visit South on North Gloucester Street in Tupelo, home of the only Malini Mimosa Bar.
I need to check that out sometime.
You say that every time.
I know.
All right. Someday when are you going to do it?
Someday.
I went to South the other day.
Mm-hmm. Did you?
Enjoyed fine dining in a casual atmosphere.
It is casual.
The biscuits, Brad. Oh, my gosh. The biscuits. Yes. They bring you a basket of biscuits.
Those are worth it alone.
And this, like, honey butter, and I'm fat. Scott Moore is joining us now on this Thursday to discuss the movie he reviewed this week, Jack Reacher sequel starring Tom Cruise. Never Go Back? Is that
Never Go Back.
There you go.
You know why you should never go back?
Why is that?
Because Jack Reacher goes back in this movie and all kinds of trouble ensues.
Oh.
Do you know anything about Jack Reacher?
It's a series of novels, and I saw the first movie, so that's...
Yeah, I read some of the novels, and so they're very compelling reading for me. I mean, once you start them, you have a lot of questions. You want to see how they end, and this movie is very much like that. Reacher's an ex-military guy who's just a complete loner, and all he carries around is basically a toothbrush, so he can just skip town whenever he needs to. And go solve some other town's problems after he solved the previous town's problems. Well, this time he goes back to meet up with Turner, played by Kobe Smulders from
How I Met Your Mother or the Avengers.
And the Avengers, yeah. And but when he gets there to take her out for dinner, she's been arrested and charged with treason, and then there's like killers from a paramilitary. A military contractor going loose, and then also we find that the Reacher might have a daughter, and so the paramilitary people know that this woman, this girl, 15-year-old, might be his daughter, and so they threaten her. That Reacher doesn't like that.
Well, no,
he threatens any woman, but I mean, if she's possibly your daughter, then even that, you know, Reacher's going to take care of that.
But it seems like it doesn't take a lot to set him off anyway.
No, he'll find bad. I mean, he doesn't mind causing mass damage, breaking noses, breaking wrists, just whatever. He's a dangerous fellow. This Reacher.
He kind of reminds me of the first movie. Reminded me of a cross between Liam Neeson and Taken and MacGyver.
Well, there's kind that. Of. It's like the old Chuck Norris thing, too, back in the day. You know, just somebody who just did not take any you-know-what from any you-know-whats. You know? And we'll go out there and just kick butt and take names. Or, you know what? Just kick butt and let somebody else take names.
There you go. So but, this one, this is the second in the series.
Yeah.
Correct.
You know.
It'll take him a while to get up to Mission Impossible numbers on this one.
It's... You know, it was the kind of movie where I always want to know what happened, how it was going to end, how it's going to go, what's going to happen next. Mm-hmm. So I was involved, but there are a lot of silly things that happened that kind of detracted. At one point, they take a flight after they had just escaped from a prison in that same city, and they use stolen IDs and they book a flight. Maybe it's round trip. I don't know. But no luggage.
That's fine. Nobody asks any questions in these movies.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying. So, like, so on some level, you just have to allow things to just happen, you know. How does this happen? Well, wait, what now? So that detracts, but at the same time, whatever it is about the storytelling, it's still, I'm still pretty much caught up in it and wonder how it goes. I was also, you know, while Reacher's trying to save his 15-year-old possible daughter, my 14-year-old daughter was sitting right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she enjoyed it because the daughter, and her name, she's played by Danica Yarosh. I might be mispronouncing that.
Just say Smith. It's fine.
Mispronunciating that.
You're mispronunciating mispronunciating.
Mispronunciating. I might be doing, but the kid is kind of resourceful in the story, even though she's she can't handle all the bad guys with their high powered weapons. But she's pretty resourceful. I think my daughter really enjoyed that, so she got a kick out of it.
Did you feel the need to throw punches with your daughter sitting near you?
I'll demonstrate using Kiefer here.
There you go.
While things on screen, what I did is I took my hand and I reached out. And I protected her. And I said, "No, you will stop right there."
We've brought in a live dummy for you to demonstrate.
That's right. That's right.
Your grade?
C+.
C+.
I think my daughter gave it a straight B, if I'm recalling correctly.
Yeah.
It was entertaining, but it had a lot of silly things, so it's not something I can recommend. But she really enjoyed it, so hey.
There you go. Did you review the first one when it came out?
No, we didn't. I saw it on TV, and it was, it had Werner Herzog as the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
that was sublime casting.
That is perfect casting for that one. Hey, while you're here, tell us where this is playing, and then I want to shift gears with you.
Oh, showing up the Malco in Tupelo as well as the Cinemark in Tupelo.
Okay, good deal. Scene this week, main story was TCT Off-Broadway's upcoming show this weekend that you're a star in.
I'm a performer.
You're a performer, yeah. Although you'll never be seen, I guess, until the curtain call.
Actually, not true, but...
curtain call, yeah.
Well, there's something that happens earlier that before that, that's I'm not going to go spilling secrets here. Yeah, Carlton Wall and Jesse, and I can't tell you Jesse's last name. I'm sorry. She's a stage manager.
It's not in there. Bailey? Is it Bailey?
Quite frankly, I couldn't tell you. I think it's been told to me several times.
I went to high school with her.
And I just know, hey, there's Jessie. Well, she's a stage manager, and they came up with this great idea. Well, they came up with this idea. You'll decide, the viewers, if it's great or not. But we're using a sheet, and so everything's in silhouette. And we'll be telling three spooky stories from the silhouette there, behind the silhouette. And it's weird because I'm new to acting. I've been in this is my second stage reading, so we will have our scripts with us. And I was in the production of, I had a small role in To Kill a Mockingbird.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but all the well-trained actors are having a hard time because you got to stay by the sheet so it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but that we're breaking so many rules of drama as far as backing away and moving around, stuff like that. And so Carlton Wall, the director, is constantly coming out and saying, I know, he's been very patient with us and all, with them who are, actually trained at this kind of stuff. No, I know we're going against your training, but you got to stay near the sheet.
He hasn't taken the hammer or the wrench to any of them yet.
No hammers, no wrenches to anybody. There has been emotional blackmail. Some people have cried. I don't mind saying.
Therapy is being offered therapy after being offered. The show.
Tom Booth is going to go in there and sit in his office for a while and just talk for a while. Yeah, man, it's the theater. What are you going to do? But it's going to be 7:30 Friday and Saturday, $15. And I believe, didn't I say your first drink
your
is free?
Your first drink
something
is
like
free, unless you're a student, in which case, no.
Yeah, if you're a student, it's $10, and then
your own dang drinks.
There you go. Out of your parents' liquor cabinet or something. I don't know.
We don't advise that here on the
show. No, you can't. That's wrong. That'd be wrong.
Yeah, completely.
That'd be wrong. Chris Kiefer says, no.
Well, we're excited to see you perform.
Thank you much.
You're playing multiple parts.
Everyone
in all
is.
Three shows.
Yeah, and with three shows and doing a lot of sound effects too. So because we're
Well, it was actually a radio show, but I guess was it Carlton's idea to he would not claim ownership of the idea.
Well, it was Jesse's idea.
It was Jesse's
to do the
idea
silhouette,
to do the
and
silhouette.
Then he ran with it.
And but it's actually just a dramatized radio play.
And because it's a stage reading, we'll have the scripts. We haven't been working on it that much. Like about 2 weeks till. We started doing it about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And so we've had three rehearsals, and that's going to be it. And we're going to it. So, but I think it has a certain amount of spontaneity to it, and a certain amount of there's definitely some spooky stuff and some funny stuff, a little funny stuff in there. But we hope it works well.
Also, some horrific stuff.
Yeah, I have no idea how it looks. You know, I mean, because I was thinking last night. You know, Carlton's out there going, "Oh, looks so good."
Yeah.
You just have to trust them. You're just in the back.
I have no
behind
idea
behind the screen. Yeah. I don't know. I mean,
that's true with any theatrical performance, but also this is just on another level because you really don't even know what is being put out there.
But
on
but
the other side of the sheet.
But it's intriguing and it helps to have the script right there for someone with meager brains such as myself.
There you go. 7:30 Friday and Saturday at the Off Broadway location on East Franklin Street behind the Bancorp South Arena. Scott, thanks for joining us today.
You can probably learn more about that by reading your story in today's Daily Journal
there
scene
you go.
Section.
There you go. And about Scott's movie review in the scene section today.
There you go.
There you go.
Hey, be sure to watch Capital View, a webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live on Monday afternoons around 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. 2016 legislative session is over, but Bobby will continue to provide perspective about the news coming out of the state capitol.
We call it Capital View because Brad and Bobby talk politics got shot down.
Yeah, it's not as catchy.
Mm-mm. Brad and Bobby talk politics. Yeah.
Time now for today's news memo. For more on these stories, read the Daily Journal or visit djournal.com. Mississippi Governor Phil Bryan believes the nation's method of selecting a president through the Electoral College gives too much of an advantage to the Democratic Party. Bryan, a Republican, was asked Wednesday about previous comments he'd made, in which he seemed to agree with GOP presidential nominee Donald Trump's assertion that the November 8th election would be rigged. Bryan said he's not sure rigged is the proper term, but he said the system favors high population states like New York and California. And it was pointed out to Bryant that the Electoral College system actually favors states with smaller populations because they get two votes for senator, just like the larger states. He said it still helped candidates by letting them focus on battleground states. Bryant made his comments after speaking at the Mississippi Economic Council's annual hobnob at Mississippi Coliseum.
A Lee County Justice Court judge has been reprimanded by a state review agency. The Mississippi Commission on Judicial Performance said District 2 Judge John Hoyt Sheffield engaged in judicial misconduct and should be suspended and fined. The commission said Sheffield should be punished for ordering a man to serve 6 months in a work center on an old case that has been appealed and resolved for 17 years, and recommended Sheffield be publicly reprimanded, fined $3,000, suspended for 120 days, and assessed court cost of almost $3,000. It will be up to the Mississippi Supreme Court to decide the actual sanctions, if any, are imposed. That process could take 10 months or more.
Tupelo Mayor Jason Shelton believes a public transportation system in southwest Mississippi could offer a strong model to Tupelo. Shelton recently visited Natchez for a Mississippi Municipal League conference. He said he came away impressed by the Natchez Regional Transit Facility. That system was constructed using federal stimulus funds and was opened in 2013. It offers public transportation options throughout the city of Natchez and Adams County and also offers routes to surrounding cities. The city of Natchez provides some funding for the system, which also receives revenue from federal backing and ride fares. Shelton said he likes the regional approach of the model. He warned, however, that attempts to study and replicate the Natchez model likely won't materialize anytime soon.
Several iconic Elvis guitars that were part of the downtown Tupelo aesthetic are making their return. When the Elvis Presley Birthplace Trail construction project began about 2 years ago, the Downtown Tupelo Main Street Association removed 14 of the guitars installed in that area. The guitars were designed and painted by area elementary students through a partnership with the Tupelo Public School District and were installed in 2010. DTMSA Director Debbie Brangenberg said the guitars fit in great with the new downtown landscape, and she said businesses and vendors are excited to see them back. Brangenberg said most of the guitars, which were stored in a warehouse, did not need repairs, but three are being refurbished and will be installed later.
The section of New Albany's Main Street that crosses under the Tanglefoot Trail will be closed for nearly 2 weeks. The road will be closed so a box culvert can be placed in the creek that runs under the street. That street has been prone to flooding for at least 50 years. The work will require excavation and will raise the level of the street by about 8 inches. A grant through the State Wildlife and Fisheries Department is helping fund the work. Although Main Street will be closed at the bridge, traffic can flow through the southern edge of the library parking lot and onto King Street, which is beside the library. Well, that's it for this episode. That's it for this week. We're done.
That's it. Bye.
Bye. See ya. Have a great weekend.
See ya.
Okay.
Aloha.
Hey, don't forget though.
Auf Wiedersehen.
For real, Monday again.
Guten Tag.
Next time you hear us, it'll be Halloween.
Unless you're just inviting Brad over for parlor tricks this weekend.
It's gonna be the spookiest Halloween podcast ever.
I'm not back.
Like anyone could ever know that.
I'm not gonna back that up.
We can make the claim because you can't disprove it, really. So yeah, it's gonna be really good. We're gonna tell ghost stories and.
We're going to light the desk on fire in here. And
bring a Ouija board in here. Maybe summon some spirits.
I'll bring a Ouija board.
You have one? I've never played it with a Ouija board. I've been kind of scared to.
Ouija boards are...
They're kind of frowned upon in my house.
Yeah, don't play with Ouija boards. Yeah. If you don't know what you're doing, don't mess with it. Don't tick off the spirits.
Yeah. Assuming they exist.
Oh, that's cute. They put it in orange on the scene section.
Oh, instead of the punch list, the haunted list.
But I thought it was just going to be green, but it's orange.
How about that? Yeah, the today's scene section, which you can read, up there on the where it says the punch list, it's crossed out and says haunted.
There you go.
Pretty clever.
Speaking of which,
it was not.
We talked, of course, about Scott's story. What else is on the punch list today?
Well, there's always, haunted houses and stuff you can go visit. The Lyric Theater's doing their haunted event. Tupelo Buffalo Park's got their Haunted Trail and Pumpkin Patch, and Corinth is having cemetery tours Saturday and Sunday, so lots of stuff to do in the area, and there's always a oodle of haunted houses.
Oodles of haunted houses.
Just visit Brad's house.
Oh, yeah, seriously. Yeah, and again, on the podcast Monday, I'll have an update on the haunting at my house. Really starting to believe it actually is haunted.
I told you.
So...
And send us your ghost stories, memo@journalink.com.
Please yes. do.
We
Please.
Will read them on the air, or, may have some people call in there.
And we'll read them in our creepiest voice.
Yeah.
This is what happened to Jane Smith one night in 2005. She was home alone, and she heard a noise.
We could do it in the William Shatner.
She was home alone.
Brad Locke was riding his bike one day.
Heard a noise in the attic, and then... Can we get Mike Myers on the show?
like
not the actor, the fictional character.
I thought you meant like Mike Myers.
Who isn't actually real.
Like, So I Married an Axe Murderer.
I still haven't seen that movie. It's one of those movies I've been wanting to see forever. I just haven't done it. I heard it's really funny.
We have a Piper down. Things that wouldn't make sense to you.
No, I don't get that reference. Sorry.
It's okay. His father, he plays his father also in the movie.
Nice. Who's Scottish, I assume, by
yes,
that?
Yes,
well, yeah. Well, he does get just Scottish.
Overtly.
His parents are, his mom is from Britain.
Yeah.
Mike Myers' mom, I think. I mean, he's from Canada, but I think his mom's British. So I guess that's one reason he's able to do so many good accents.
It's a very overt impression when he does it.
I can't
film.
Do a Scottish accent, so I won't try.
There's a Scottish Piper in the film that falls over. We have a Piper down! Piper down! Anyway, memo@journalink.com. Send us your horror stories for us to read on the air. We'd love to. And back on Monday with that episode.
Indeed. All right. Where can they find us?
Online.
At?
The internet. Just type in the internet and you'll find us.
So helpful.
I'll try to be.
Djournal.memo. No, wait. Memo.djournal.com.
That's the one.
And we're also on iTunes and all your podcast apps for all you weirdos that don't have an iPhone.
Yep.
Okay.
Where you can find us.
Cool. All right. Well, have a great weekend and everything.
Have a weekend.
Have a safe weekend too.
There you go.
Get ready for Halloween.
All
right. Go buy your costumes.
You open up all your kids' candy and eat it yourself.
See what we do at our house. Uh-huh. Of course, they're kind of all teenagers now. They don't really trick or treat. Take all their candy at the end of the night.
A few minutes ago was a teenager.
Well, not her.
Okay.
She might go trick or treating.
Sure.
We would get all their candy at the end of the night, and just dump it in a big bowl, and everybody partakes of it. They never had a problem with that.
That's like when
you got
work
that
at
many kids.
They take up all the tips. It's like, no, I worked for those.
Anyway, it's a communal thing in our house.
All right. Well, God bless you.
All right. The communal candy bowl.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. We're done now.
Okay.
I promise.
Bye.